Good morning. Welcome. For those of you that don't know, I'm making all sorts of noises this morning. See if I can fix that. That better? I'll try not to move the statue. For those of you that don't know, my name is Brian Herzog. I'm one of the elders here at Potter's House. Privileged to serve that, honored to serve that way. And I want to say welcome. We'll get this right in a minute. I'm not used to this. Your goodness and your mercy that we have lived in, with us and for us and through us. Lord, we want to give this time to you. We want to honor you with this. We have given this day to you, and Lord, we want to honor you with your word this morning. Teach us, lead us, guide us, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, well, we're taking a short hiatus from the Genesis series that we've been doing, and this thing's not going to fit, is it? Well, that's great. I'll just glue it to the side of my face. But so today is Palm Sunday, that Sunday we celebrate and remember Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He came like a king would enter Jerusalem, and 1 week later, he would be crucified. And that's such a powerful thing to remember. And we celebrate the gospel also this time of year. Every Sunday, as a matter of fact, but especially that gift of salvation that God brought through his son, Jesus Christ, when he gave his life for our sin on the cross. And the gospel is simply this. If you haven't heard it before, we can simplify it down to this. I'm supposed to die for my sin, but Christ died for my sin and was buried according to the scriptures. And then he rose again 3 days later according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. It is that simple. We just accept that, trust in that, believe that. That's the gospel in a nutshell. And we celebrate these things, all these stories, all these memories of God's word. We celebrate these things by remembering. That's why the title Remember is up there. Remembering is a very important skill that God has blessed us with. And it's important for remembering simple things like where we put our car keys or don't touch that hot stove. It's good for simple things like that. But it's also good for things that we want to remember and relive. Things that are important. Things that we need to hold on to in our minds. Remembering is also important for informing us on how we should live, on how we should believe, and how we should train our children. And that's kind of where we want to focus today when we think about the word remember. God has got some important things to say because this type of remembering is very important to God. He's got a lot to say about it in Scripture, and we're not going to visit every passage, but we're going to talk about it. Few of them today. And the first one we're going to talk about is in Joshua chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. And we typically stand together and read those. So for something different, let's stand together and read those verses. We've never done that before. This is new, I know. But everything's new today. So let's read these together. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, from right where the priests are standing, and carry them over with you, and put them down at the place where you stay tonight." So Joshua called together the 12 men he had appointed from the Israelites, one from each tribe, and he said to them, "Go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan." I'll keep up. "Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever." Amen. You can have a seat. Thank you. So when we think about remembering, that's a good example of God commanding us to remember and training our children. None of you have met my dad, but you've heard me talk about him from the pulpit today. And from what I've shared, you probably surmise that he had quite an influence on me. And I remember many of the things he taught me and my sister as well, and the example of a godly man that he was. And, of course, he was a godly man because he was a Christ-committed follower, and he chose to make Christ-committed followers wherever he went. People knew him for that, and he passed that on to my sister and myself as well. And you've heard me quote my dad a few times. I've had a few quotes, and he was fond of short phrases to help me remember important things, to help me remember important principles from God's Word and also from life. And one that I've had conversation with several of you about on more than one occasion is one that I shared a year or two ago or three or whatever from the pulpit here. And that was, what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. And, of course, what he meant by that is what you fill your life with is what your life becomes. What you feed yourself will eventually come out in your life. So if a well is full of water, water will come up in the bucket. If a well is full of snakes, snakes will come up in the bucket. And another one that I heard my dad say from time to time when I needed to hear it was this one. Today is school for tomorrow. Today is school for tomorrow. Think about that for a minute. I knew what he meant when he was talking to me because I needed to hear it, I'm sure. But of course, what he meant by that is it's very important to recognize, remember, and use important things that you see and hear today to make you better, smarter, stronger in faith for tomorrow and for beyond. Again, I don't know if that was original to him. I never heard it anywhere else. But he told my sister and I this. And I think he knew this because he also had known enough of God's Word that he knew that it was an important principle to God as well, for us to remember things and not just throw everything away as soon as we experience it. Today is school for tomorrow. You see, God wants us to remember His Word, His works, His goodness, and spiritual markers, and we'll talk about those in a few minutes, and pass them on to our children. And how do we know that? If we look at our passage this morning, you know, verse 1 says, when the whole nation had crossed the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, choose 12 men from among the people, one from each tribe, and tell them to take up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan. Why did he do that, I wonder? The Bible doesn't tell us, but I wonder if you've ever seen a river stone, one that has lived its life in the bottom of a river, especially out west where there's not a lot of muddy river, but it's rocky. Those stones are worn smooth. Many times they're round or oblong, and they look very different than the sharp, jagged rocks that you find elsewhere. So these would be obviously out of place. So he took the 12 stones, he brought them over, and he said to them, go over before the ark of the Lord your God in the middle of the Jordan. Each of you is to take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the Israelites to serve as a sign among you. And here's why. In the future, when your children ask you, what do these stones mean? Tell them that the flow of the Jordan was cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones are to be a memorial to the people of Israel forever. He didn't say until 1940, till 1980, till 2024, forever. A memorial to the people of Israel. So this is not an isolated incident, this command for us to remember. This is specifically to the nation of Israel, but we're still talking about it today. And so this isn't an isolated incident. If you remember, not too many months back, we talked about the Passover and what that meant for the nation of Israel as they were captives in the nation of in Egypt. And the plagues God used to harden Pharaoh's heart. And finally, the last plague was the death of the oldest born, the firstborn. And remember the device that God used to spare the Israelites. If you just take the lamb, the blood from that lamb sacrifice, and sprinkle it on the doorpost, the top and the sides, the death angel will pass over and not take that firstborn. But if there's no blood on the doorposts, the death angel will come and take that firstborn. Horrific thing, I'm sure, for the people of Egypt. But the safety of trusting God and having faith in what God said to obey. And that was the Passover. In the passage I'm going to share in just a little bit, God had just laid out the plan for celebrating the Passover, for the ceremony that they would conduct for that. And in Exodus chapter 12, we're going to pick it up, and you see a very similar command in this story as well. Exodus 12, 25 through 26. So when you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them, it's the Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians. Then the people bowed down and worshiped. The Israelites did just what the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So this is not a one-time principle. This is a thing that God has said over and over. Let's look at some other passages. Psalm 44:1 says, O God, we have heard with our ears. Our ancestors have told us of work you worked in their days, in days of old. Psalm 78:1-7, My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old, things that we have known and things that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children. So the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. You see a pattern? Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commandments. Deuteronomy 4:9-10. Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember the day you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb, when he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn to revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. So it's pretty clear from these passages that at least part of God's plan for us is to remember and pass on his word and his works to our children and our children's children. In fact, he designed us with the ability to do that. That's one of the reasons God created us with the ability to remember. Sometimes my memory is a little bit like a guppy, 5 seconds, and it's gone. Ask my wife, Regina. She'll tell you, sometimes I forget conversations I had a minute ago. But it's clear that God has designed us to remember, and one of the purposes of remembering is to remember his word and what he's done. It's always interesting to me, I sometimes chuckle, when science discovers something that has been part of God's creation forever. And I wonder if God chuckles when a science discovers, has a eureka moment. But there are some things about memory that in the last 50 years and then some more even in the last 5 years and less about memory and our ability to remember and what it does for us. But keep in mind, these are all things that God has known from before the foundation of the world. So these are little science bullets. Memory allows us to revisit and learn from past experience. That seems like a given, right? That's kind of the deal. It revisit and learn from past experiences. Memory stores knowledge about the world and how things work. I like that one. that's kind of cool. We've got a new granddaughter. Well, I knew she's almost 10 months old now. But I love to watch her work things out and figure things out and learn how things work. I was putting up a little gate at their apartment a month or two ago, and she was watching me the whole time. And as I finished, I did a little test to make sure it opened. It was childproof, right? Had a little thing at the top that you had to pull with some force to get it loose. And so she was watching me do the whole thing. So when I finished, she came over and climbed up on the thing and reached up for the handle. She tried to pull it up. She couldn't because she wasn't strong enough. But it was like, holy smoke, she's already figured this out. I need to put a lock on this or something. So, we can figure out how things work. Memory helps us do that. Memory also helps ensure that our behavior fits the present situation, and we can adjust it, our behavior that is, based on experience. That's a little subtle nuance that some of us haven't figured out yet, but to each his own. That's important. Personal memories give us a sense of continuity and provide important details of who we are and who we would like to be. Isn't that interesting? Memory assists us with that. Remembering endows history with meaning and significance. I like that. If you know anything about history, so many events that took place are full of meaning and significance for us today and for our children. And here's probably my favorite one. Recalling a past event can strengthen the representation of that memory, making it easier to retrieve in the future. Think about that. Recalling a past event can strengthen the representation of that memory, making it easier to retrieve in the future. That's why memories that we discuss repeatedly are easier to recall. God has created us this way. He wants us to use that ability to remember and recall to teach our children about what He's done. The more we say them, the more we talk about them, the more we share with our children, the more we tell ourselves, the easier it is to remember. And you know us as humans, it's easy for us to develop bad habits, isn't it? Good habits are hard to get the gist of sometimes, but boy, those bad habits are real easy. And one of the bad habits we have sometimes is forgetting things that we shouldn't forget, especially history, mistakes that have been made. And that can cause us to repeat those mistakes. And that can slow or even stop our growth altogether. And you know, once you stop growing, you start moving backwards, don't you? At least I do. Remembering and recalling and repeating the things of God is a vital part of God's plan for us. He wants us to do that. And we saw some examples in the Old Testament, and there are plenty of examples in the New Testament as well. We'll share some of these and some more in the Old Testament. Ephesians 2, 11 and 12 says, "Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. We need to remember where we used to be and where God has brought us from and where He's brought us to today." 2 Peter 1, 12 and 13. "So I will always remind you of these things," Peter is telling us. "Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body." We need to be constantly reminded. Those things we think we know, we need to remember and re-remember again and again. 2 Peter 3, 1 and 2. "Dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles." And here are a few more from the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles 16, 12. "Remember
the wonders he has done, his miracles, and the judgments he pronounced. Psalm 77:11. I will remember, there's that word again, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. Psalm 143:5. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. So again, it's very obvious that God wants us to remember what he said and done. And I think one of the most important things God wants us to remember are spiritual markers. Those major events that have happened in our lives that God has used to bring us to him, to teach us, to change us, to draw us closer to him. God just doesn't want us as individuals to remember. He also understands that it's important for our children to remember. God wants us to keep teaching and reminding our children of what he's done and what he continues to do. See, God never, ever stops working. He started in our world when he created this world, but he's never stopped since then. He continues to work today in your life, in my life, in all of our lives. God never stops working. Here are some spiritual markers that we can see from God's word. The story of Abraham and Isaac, you remember that story from Genesis chapter 22. Abraham was tested, but we sometimes think God was testing Abraham because he wanted to figure out what was in Abraham's heart. But we know that God knew what was in Abraham's heart. He wanted Abraham to know what was in Abraham's heart. So that was part of the purpose, at least, for this test. But in Genesis 22, we know that when Abraham took his son in obedience to the Lord up to the mountain to sacrifice him, God provided a ram. And Abraham named that place Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide, or God has provided. And that's exactly what he did. He provided that ram caught by its horns in the bushes there to be the sacrifice. And Abraham slaughtered that ram and worshiped God there and named that place Jehovah Jireh. That is a spiritual marker. That is a place that you can go to that has that name, and that's the story. So we remember. So the nation of Israel would remember. So his family would remember. So all of eternity, we would remember what God did there. And we just talked about the story of the Passover and in Exodus and the ceremony of the Passover. When your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean? You tell them the story of God's deliverance. That's a spiritual marker. The Jordan crossing that we looked at first as we started today, that whole 12 stones stacked on the side of the riverbank there. So when your children ask you, what's up with this pile of rocks over here? You can tell them the story of what God did, how God parted the water. And I love how the word says that the Israelites, all approximately a million of them maybe, crossed through on dry ground. They didn't even get their feet wet. It wasn't even muddy. They didn't get stuck in the river bottom mud. They walked through on dry ground. And it was at flood stage. What a wonderful, amazing, powerful display of God's strength. That those pile of rocks are that spiritual marker. Even baptism and the Lord's Supper, you see some scripture references, you can look those up there. Even those things are examples of things that we remember as we're being baptized to, and we'll celebrate that next Sunday on Resurrection Sunday. Even as you're being baptized, you're identifying with God, and you're remembering that Jesus died, was buried, and rose again for us. And we identify with him by remembering that. The Lord's Supper, Jesus even himself said, do this in remembrance of me every time you do it. So those are spiritual markers, things that we have come to know as things that help us remember and look back. And as we said, God just doesn't want us to remember. He wants our children to remember. And part of that task falls to us as parents. Remember that passage in Exodus 12. When your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean? And in Joshua, when they say, when your children ask, what do these stones mean? We have a story. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. That pretty much covers it all, an entire day, getting up in the morning, going to bed at night, and everything in between. Remember, memories that we discuss repeatedly are easier to recall. So why? Why does God want us to do that? And we've kind of danced around it a little bit, but to put a point on it, so we don't forget what God has said and done. And number two, probably just as important, if not more, is so the legacy of strong faith in Christ will continue if our children know and learn and pass those on to their children and their children after them. So what would it look like? What would happen if we were to teach our children about spiritual markers in our own lives? What if we had objects or pictures in our homes that remind us of events where God was at work in our lives? Have you thought about that? What if we had things in our home that represented things that God has done in our lives? Maybe a picture of a place where God showed up and showed off in our life? Or maybe an object that represents a thing that God has done, or a place that we were where God moved in a wonderful way, so that when your children ask, what's that picture about? We can tell them a story of God. And objects, memories that we repeat are easier to repeat the more we recall and repeat them. So what would happen if we talked about spiritual markers and had examples of things in our homes? So then it falls for us as parents then to do that, to follow through with that and what that looks like. And part of that is being in His Word, so we know what He says. So when those teachable moments come up with our children, we can say, well, you know, God has something to say about that. And if we can't quite recall the whole passage, at least we can know where it is and turn in Scripture to it. So being in His Word is important. Abiding in Him, living in Him, and passing that on to our children. And it's not only the things that God has done in ancient history and recent past, but recognizing those things that God is doing now. Because as we said, He is still working today, and He will keep working. God has got a plan, and it's always working. I love this. God is continually writing and rewriting your story, my story, and the story of us as a church. Have you thought about that? I mean, sometimes it's easy to kind of look at my life and see, watch the thread of what God is doing and has done. Excuse me. But God is doing that for us, in us, collectively, as a body, as Potter's House of Camdenton. God is writing and rewriting our story. God has continued to work in and among us as a church. And there are some of the spiritual markers that I can think of that I've got marked out in my head. And if you have been here for 10 years or somewhere thereabouts, you will recognize some of these early on. But if you've not, that's okay. But you can pick out your own spiritual markers. These are just ideas. New direction. That's something that happened with us 8 or 10 years ago that I believe God did. It was one of those things that was upsetting, but God has done the work. New leadership, that brought about new leadership. And as that new leadership found its footing and we grew and we learned, we were able to qualify men who could become deacons along with their wives. And as those men learned and grew closer to God and were able to qualify themselves as elders, and as we grew, we got a new and redefined focus. And now we're experiencing new growth. We notice on most Sundays now it's a little cramped sometimes in this room on Sunday morning. And our children's area is kind of bursting at the seams, and we need more volunteers. And those are good problems to have. But these are spiritual markers. New families are coming on board. New ministries have happened. We just celebrated one today, community bed building, that is taken off like a shot. And God is doing amazing things. You know, talking with Scott, he fully recognizes God's hand in this whole thing, that this is something that God has done. It's not something that Scott just had a wild hair and decided he was going to do something. God has done this. He has laid these puzzle pieces in place. God is working. He's continued to work. God has done and is doing a beautiful thing here at Potter's House. He's working and moving and positioning us for ministry. I like that phrase. He's positioning us. He's getting all the pieces fit together just right, the right people in the seats in the bus, and he's working, positioning us for ministry to this community and around the world. Isn't that an amazing thought? Isn't that something that kind of blows you away? I mean, we don't know what God is doing specifically, but the more we follow him, the more we re-remember and put the pieces together, sometimes God makes it clear to us what he's doing. What if God is preparing us for even greater things? What if? I mean, I would say he is. This is kind of a rhetorical question. But what if God is preparing us for something amazing we haven't even dreamt of yet? What if that's true? Speaking of remembering, when we look at our Potter's House purpose statement, it's one of those things that's worth remembering, because this is who we want to be when we grow up. And the more we remember and the more we recall and retell that story, the more we're able to remember that and we're able to follow him as he moves among us. I wonder if we could say the Potter's House purpose statement together this morning. Didn't know there was going to be a test, did you? I'll start it and then I'll kind of back off and see how we do, okay? Here we go. The Potter's House exists to be the church by making... I would do the same thing. Now, let me give you some help, and let's say this together. Let's try this. This is something that we probably need to be more obvious with this in other different places, so that something that we do not forget. I think this is a spiritual marker, by the way, for us as Potter's House. This is something, this is one of those 10 years ago things where we were kind of trying to find a new direction and God, who do you want us to be? And we spent an entire weekend at a condo area, just sequestered from the world, separate, cut off, and we did nothing but pray and search the scripture and wordcraft this. It took an entire weekend. I think there were 12 of us or something like that. I don't remember, but it took us a while. But we were very careful. And as we prayed through, God began to make it clear. And as we kind of put the final period in place, it just seemed that God was pleased. And this is what God wants to do in us, among us. And so, if you would please, let's say this together. The Potter's House exists to be the church by making Christ-committed followers who will make Christ-committed followers in our community and around the world through relevantly teaching and living the pure Word of God. So we want to make Christ-committed followers. That's the nugget in the center of that. In our community and around the world, relevantly teaching, that's kind of what we're trying to do right now, and living the pure Word of God. The living part at least of the living the pure Word of God is obeying this command to teach our children, to share with them, to recognize spiritual markers, recognize those things that He's doing or has done in your life, and find ways to share them with our children so that when our children ask, what's up with that? What is that about? We can tell them about what God has done. When we look ahead and what lies in front of us, it's important to remember that what God has done and is doing, He keeps on working. He will never stop working in us and through us. Boy, can we dream about maybe what God has for us? As we look at this purpose statement, I mean, that we tried very hard to make sure that was biblical, and we checked it and checked it and checked it. And that's our purpose, making Christ-committed followers here and around the world, relevantly teaching and living the pure Word of God. Can we continue to keep becoming who He's making us to be? With an eye to that, can we remember what He's done, what He's doing right now, both in His Word and in our lives as He works in us, and pass that on to our children and encourage them, teach them to pass it on to their children. Imagine what could be 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 years from now because of our willingness to remember and pass on to our family the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, His love and His Word. Let's pray. Father, thank You. We thank You for Your Word that is so powerful. It draws us to You. It convicts us as we need it. It teaches us. And Lord, all the stories in Your Word of what You've done, all the principles in Your Word of what You have done and what You're doing, Lord, all the things that Your Spirit is doing in our hearts, and the things You are doing in our lives, individually and as a church, Lord, we thank You so much for all those things. Lord, we want to be about being faithful to You. Help us as parents, help us as children to be faithful, to remember what You've done. Place some markers if we need to remind us of what You've done. Lord, we love You. And we look forward to the opportunity of sharing what You're doing with those around us. Who knows what You are doing among us, but we want to be faithful and ready so that when it comes, we're looking in the right direction and we're ready to say, yes, Lord, we want to follow You because we're watching, we're waiting, we're ready. Lord, thank You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. You're dismissed.